If you have your Bibles, open them up to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read a passage. The first few verses of this book. This is the story of Jesus really kind of first calling his disciples. But he singled them out in kind of a very unique way. And I believe that if you're willing and if you are desiring, that Jesus will single you out and he'll call you into the deep waters. Let's read this passage. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Lake of Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Your version may say mending their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. So they came and filled both boats so that they were so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. That passage has so much in it. We're going to dive a little deeper into that passage today. In this passage, we find Jesus instructing Peter to push out into the deep water. Earlier, the fishermen were, you know what they were doing? They were sitting on the shore doing what? They were mending their nets. Why were they mending their nets, you might ask? Nets get damaged when they run across the rocky bottom of the Sea of Galilee, right? I mean, that's how they fish. They put out their nets and they drop them down, and as they're dragged around, they get torn and sometimes when the fish get caught in there, they kind of tear up the nets or whatever. They were mending their net. The problem is they've been fishing all night long and they hadn't caught anything, right? If they were dragging their nets on the bottom, they needed mending. The fish didn't tear up their nets, right? Because Peter said we hadn't caught anything. What else out there would tear up the nets? Dragging them on the bottom. If they're dragging them on the bottom, that tells me they were fishing in the shallow water, okay? Which was customary. It was customary to fish at night and in the shallow water. Don't get too far away from land. You need to be able to see land, right? See the campfire on the beach or whatever. You fish out there in the shallow waters. That was customary. It was the customary way to fish in that day. Then here comes this guy, right? And Jesus is a professional fisherman, right? No, he was the son of a carpenter. So he comes along, and he sees the pros, the professional fishermen, they're over there just kind of, "Oh, man, worked hard all night, didn't catch a thing," and they're sewing their nets back together. And he says, "Hey, let's go. Come on out. Go out. Let me show you where to catch fish." And they're going, "Can you imagine? Wait a minute. How long you been fishing? I've been fishing all my life. You're a carpenter. How are you? Yeah, can you just imagine? Can you imagine doing what you do and what only you know how to do and what you do best, right? Imagine me coming up to you, not knowing anything about what you're doing, and say, 'Hey, you're doing it wrong. Let me show you how to do it right.' You're going to go back to preaching. Do what you know how to do. I'll do what I know how to do," right? I mean, come on, that's who we are. That's how we operate. He was breaking all the rules. He was going against the customs of the proper way of doing things. The whole sermon just in that. However, Peter said, "Because you say so." The It's the same Peter who we talked about just a couple Sundays ago, or maybe it was on Sunday night, I can't remember. This is the Peter who Jesus healed his mother-in-law, right? Okay, this is the same Peter. He said, because you say so, I will do it. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, Peter truly recognized who Jesus was. He says, he called him Lord. He said, Lord, go away from me. And then Peter also recognized who he was. He said, Lord, go away from me, because I am a sinful man. I do not deserve to be in your presence, Father. Lord, I recognize who you are. I recognize who I am. And I recognize there's so much distance between. I don't deserve to be here. I can't stand this way. I can't stand it that you are Lord, your perfection, and I am full of sin. I can't stand it. There's this distance between us. You see, Jesus knew that before he ever got in the boat. Jesus knows that before you ever get out of bed. He says, I recognize that I am here and I am perfection and I am holy. And I recognize that you are sinful. And I want there to be some movement in that relationship. I would like for you to come a little deeper and get closer to me. I'm not coming. I've already been there. And I'm not going to lower the standards. I'm not going to compromise holiness. I want you to move this way. See, a lot of times we ask God, oh, just allow this, let this, turn your eye just a little bit, because this is, and a lot of times we're asking God to move. Let me tell you something. He's the same yesterday, today, and how long? Forever. He's not moving from his holy standard. And if you want to get closer to Christ, if you want to get closer to God, you're the one that has to move. I'm the one that has to move. We have to move closer. We have to be willing to go out into the deep water. You see, when you go deep with Jesus, you learn things about him. And you learn things about yourself. And it wasn't until Peter went deep with Jesus that he understood who Jesus was. And he understood who he was. If you will go deep with Jesus, he will show you things about who he is. He will highlight just exactly who you are. And the good thing is that he loves you just as you are. But he loves you too much for you to stay there. Jesus showed Peter that he was much more than just a sinful man. What did Peter say? Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And Jesus was showing Peter, yes, you are, but you're so much more. He didn't say it here, at least it's not recorded here, but I'm sure he was implying, Peter, you don't understand. You're so much more because you're in the presence. You're in the presence of God Almighty. And that makes you more than you could ever be on your own. When Peter had gone deep with Jesus, even through disappointments, right? Fast forward through the ministry of Jesus on earth and Peter's experiences with him. And you know, Peter disappointed Jesus, right? Even through those disappointments, Jesus revealed to Peter that he would build his church upon Peter, Cephas, the rock. He said, upon you I will build my church. He took this man who said, I am a sinful man. Jesus didn't disagree with him. But he said, yes, but upon you, I'm going to build my church. How did he get that point? How did he get from saying, I'm a sinful man, to understanding that Jesus was going to use him to build his church upon? How did he do that? How did Peter get to that realization? He had to go deep. He had to go deep. He had to get intimate with Christ. When you go deep, you learn and grow more than you could by staying in the shallows. As I write out my sermons, my handwriting is absolutely horrible. If you've received one of my notes or cards, I'm sorry. I apologize. As I write my sermon out, I type it out in note form so that I can read it. But often on Sunday mornings, Lord clarifies something for me, and I have to scribble some notes down. And so I didn't have a lot of room, so I have to use my cheater glasses to read what I wrote down here this morning. Could Jesus have performed this miracle catch? Could he have done this in the shallow water? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. Jesus could have taken the boys out to where they were fishing all night long. Might would have even been better. I doubt it. But think about this. He could have taken them back to the very same spot that they'd been fishing in all night long and said, when you're with me. But he didn't. He took them deeper. He said, go out to the deep water. Right? And they're like, deep water? Why the deep? We fish the shallows. He could have done it in the shallow water, but I believe Jesus was showing the boys that to truly gain the riches of what he has to offer, we must be willing to look beyond our regular routine. We must be willing to think and act outside the box. Wherever you are in your relationship, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are with Christ, if you want to go deeper, you're probably going to have to do something differently. It's an old saying. If you want the same results you've always gotten, just keep on doing what you've always done. You ever heard that before? Or something similar to it? If you want something different, what's going to have to happen? If you want to go deeper with Jesus, what are you going to have to do? Something. Something different. What is that? What is staying in the shallows? What does it mean to stay in the shallows? I believe that's coming to church. I mean, we're here. Sometimes we can come to church and just tread around in the shallow waters. We can quote the familiar verses that we've learned and known since a kid. We may not have added many to them, but at least we know those, and we're just kind of splashing around the shallow waters. We come to church. We come to Sunday school or even a Bible study. We even help out the church. We do a little work around here on special work days. When they call me and guilt me into coming, I'll come. Right? I even pay my tithe regularly, every week, every other week, once a month, whenever I get paid, whenever my check comes in, whenever I make a little extra money. That's great. It's great. But for many, that's just splashing around in the shallow waters. That's what being in the shallow is. Those things are great, but if they don't impact your whole life, that's like being in the kiddie pool. That's like going, you ever been to the swim to a pool where they have two pools? They have the pool that's the big pool, and it starts at like this deep, and it goes down to 10 feet or whatever, and sometimes there's a diving board over there or something. But then there's this other little pool over here. It looks kind of like a hot tub, but it's not. It's, you know what I'm talking about. And it's this little pool. And these little kiddos out there splashing around. The diapers are so waterlogged. They're just sagging around. You know, they're just splashing around. But that's what many Christians do their whole life. They never get out of the kiddie pool. They're satisfied with being in the shadow. I mean, you get wet, right? You can even lay down and splash it over top of your head, and you can get all that kiddie pool water all over you if you like. But many Christians never experience the deep water. Many Christians never experience the deep water. To go deep takes commitment. To go deep takes commitment. It's scary sometimes. It's a little frightening. It's not my regular routine. It's different. I'm used to the shallows. I mean, I've got it. I've got the terrain underground, the lay of the bottom figured out. I know where it's safe to go with my trolling motor. I'm comfortable in the shadow, in the shallows. I can see the shore. I know which direction I am. I know that if there's trouble, I can at least dog paddle or wade back to the shore. I'm comfortable in the shallows. And a lot of us are like that. But to go deep takes a commitment. Because what happens if you get farther out there? Ooh, a little scary. Went on a cruise several years ago. And really, I think for the first time in my life, I'd been out, I couldn't even see shore. And it was this thought went through my mind just real quickly, but it stuck in Rebecca's mind until we saw shore again, that I am so far out, I can't get back by myself. A little scary. I understand that. Going deep takes a commitment. And we're afraid of commitment these days. Right? It means that someone might hold us accountable. If I commit and I let somebody know that I've committed, well, then they may hold us accountable, right? A little quick story about accountability. Yesterday, my girls went shopping, all three of them. And they were out shopping, and while they were out, they went to a restaurant to eat. And it's this restaurant where they bring you lots of salad at the front, and you get to eat as much salad, they keep bringing it, and they give you breadsticks, lots of breadsticks, right? Well, my girls are attending the Monday night Bible study, Made to Crave. Bible study Made to Crave, which is kind of designed to help us maybe turn our craving from food to Christ, right? Doesn't really mix with a whole lot of breadsticks. Those don't go hand in hand. And so, while they were there, I mean, talk about it being held accountable. One of the girls hollowed out the breadstick so that she didn't get all the gooey stuff in the middle, just the crust, which is a great decision, okay? One of my girls, the oldest one, the mother of the bunch, I won't call her name, didn't do that. She ate the breadstick. She started to reach for another one. Well, Jasmine said, reminded her of her commitment on Monday night. But she was held accountable. And she was willing to be held accountable. But that's scary for us because it shows a weakness in us. And we don't like to be weak. Means that to be held accountable, to go deep, to make a commitment, some people might begin to expect certain things from me. Yikes. I like to do stuff when I want to, not when people expect me to, right? Because if I can do it just when I want to, then it's up to me. But if somebody else is expecting me to do something, then it's a little more difficult. And sometimes that might interfere with what I've got planned or with what I'm doing or with what I would like to do. And so those are reasons why we don't like to make commitments. We want to leave a way out just in case it gets uncomfortable. I don't want to go too deep because if something happens I don't like, I can still get back to shore on my own, no harm, no foul, I'm good to go. When you go out to the deep, unless you can walk on water, you're kind of committed. Right? I mean, we hear stories all the time about these people way far out and the boat breaks down or capsizes or whatever and they're stuck there. The only way that they get saved is if somebody comes and finds them, saves them, right? It takes a commitment to go deep. How do we do that? How do we go deep? Going deep with Jesus means you just got to spend time with Him. You got to spend time with Him daily. You can't get to where you get to where you can't even go throughout the day without thinking about reading from God's Word. You can't imagine going a period of 24 hours without at least opening up the Word of God or spending time in prayer or being in His presence in some form or fashion. That's what going deep is. You begin to crave that. You can't imagine going without it. You don't just read, but you pray as you read. and you look for answers to those prayers, I guarantee you. Matter of fact, I challenge you. Take me up on this challenge. When you pray, ask God for certain things, right? And God, ask God to show you certain things, and then pick up the Word. Why do we call it the Word of God? Anybody have any idea why we call it the Word of God? It's how He speaks to us. We speak with words, right? Now, if you'll pray and ask God, Lord, show me something. Show me something. Show me. Help me understand something. And then you pick up His Word and read it. I challenge you to do that, and you'll find the answers. You'll find, if you're willing to listen, you're willing to step out into the deep water a little bit, God will show you. He'll reveal to you. He'll reveal Himself to you. He'll reveal His purpose and His plan for you, to you. But you've got to do that. You've got to go deep. You've got to go deep. You set aside pride, and you're willing to let the Word speak to you, to convict you, to challenge you, to change you, and to call you. You let Christ become the center of it all. We just sang about that. Jesus be the center of it all. You got to go deep. You don't get there. You don't get to that point by splashing around in the shallow water, by memorizing 4 or 5 familiar verses. You don't get there by praying 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right? Lord, bless this food. Keep us safe. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Kiddie pool stuff, folks. We're afraid of the deep. As I was out on a prayer retreat last week, I spent quite a time down by this river. This is the San Saba River, out in the Texas Hill Country. I noticed how these rocks out in the river, they affected the stream. They were these big rocks out in the middle of the stream. The water had to go around these rocks and over some of these rocks, and it disturbed the stream. I mean, it was nice and pristine, and you could tell the water was moving because some little leaves or whatever was floating in it. Then it would get to these rocks, and it just kind of, well, did that. This made it kind of tumultuous. The water had to go around these rocks. After a long period of time, some of the rocks were worn down, and the water could spill over the top. But I noticed something, that as the water either goes around these rocks or spills over the top of these rocks, what happens right on the other side of those rocks? It hollows out a deeper pool right on the other side of the rock. Why does it do that? As I was sitting there and I was looking at that, and just looking at these little pools that were developed on the other side of the rocks, I noticed that the rocks determine the direction of the river, right? And it changes the flow. And it changes the natural way of the water. It changes how it wants to go. The rocks change the stream. But it's also these rocks that help develop the deep pools. I want to tell you this morning that these rocks in the stream of your life, there will be rocks. There will be these hard times in your life. Your journey will be interrupted, and you will have to negotiate the hard times, these rocks. But there are also opportunities to develop deep pools in the stream of your life. Don't be afraid of the deep. Don't be afraid of the rocks. Rocks happen. We just prayed for one of our own that lost her husband. That's a rock in that lady's stream. It's a rock in her stream. But if she will allow God to use that rock to hollow out a deep pool of water, that's a pool she can return to get refreshment time and time again. And the same is true for your life. You've got rocks in your streams too. You know that. And nobody probably knows that better than you do. You can call them out. Some of you are like, I'm just this little old trickle of water in a pile of rocks. But if you'll allow God to develop those hard times, you'll find that there are opportunities to go deep. I'm going to read to you something I read this last week, or two weeks ago. In 1 Corinthians 3:13, Paul writes, "There will that our work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." Okay, the gold and silver, I'm reading here from the book. The gold and silver, the precious stones, will endure while the wood and hay and straw will go up in smoke. Right? Those things that are valuable, those things that are worth having, they're hard. They don't get consumed by fire. They're found where? He writes here, the author says, "I think it's significant that wood, hay, and straw are abundant, those things that get burned up, right outside your door, only a few miles away at most. Any forest, any farmer's field has an abundance of these things. But if you want gold or silver and costly stones, you have to dig for them. You have to pursue with great effort. They're not just lying around everywhere. You have to go deep into the earth." He writes, "These words are profound to me. Spiritual construction that uses wood, hay, and straw comes easy. Little work. Little seeking, no travailing, no birthing. You just slap it up and it will look adequate for a while. But if you want to build something that will endure on Judgment Day, the work is much more costly. You have to go deep to get the good stuff." This is no different. I mean, it's all good. But if you want more, if you want the most, if you want what God has intended for you, you've got to go deep. There's no way around that. You've got to go deep. Y'all know Warren and Liz Henley, right? They have this beautiful place out there. About 60 acres of his 120, I don't know how many acres, a bunch. Almost half of it's in water, old gravel pits. They're not real deep pits, and they don't fill up by runoff. They just fill up by the water table, okay? Well, right now, we've been kind of, it's been dry. I mean, we've got a little rain here lately, and the water's come up a little bit. But for the last couple years, their beautiful lake property out there has just been kind of like mud pits, sometimes even dry up. And I notice when I go out there and I look around in the shallow water, I mean, there's moss, there's lily pads and whatnot, and it's just not teeming with a lot of life because it's too shallow. And when they fill up and the water comes up, then you get all kinds of stuff. You get the white perch, you get the sun perch, you get the minnows are coming in and out, and the turtles are having a heyday, the bass begin to come around, right? And then the alligators come in and all that stuff. But the deeper the water gets, the more life is found in the pool. That'll preach right there. The deeper you go, the more life you will find. Why be content to splash around in the shallows? Life is found in the deep. There's this song by Stephen Curtis Chapman that I was reminded of this week, so I printed out the words. It's called Dive. Let me read it. I'm not going to try to sing it to you. "The long-awaited rains have fallen hard upon the thirsty ground and carved their way to where the wild and rushing river can be found. And like the rains, I've been carried here to where the river flows. My heart is racing, my knees are weak as I walk to the edge. I know there's no turning back. Once my feet have left the ledge and I hear in a rush, I hear a voice that's telling me, it's time to take a leap of faith. So here I go. I'm diving in. I'm going deep. In over my head I want to be. Caught in the rush, lost in the flow. In over my head I want to go. The river's deep, the river's wide, the water's river is alive. So sink or swim, I'm diving in." He goes on and says, "There's a supernatural power in this mighty river's flow. It can bring the dead to life. It can fill an empty soul and give a heart the only thing worth living and worth dying for. But we will never know the awesome power of the grace of God until we let ourselves get swept away into this holy flood. So if you'll take my hand, we'll close our eyes and count to three and take this leap of faith. come on, let's go. The chorus says again, I'm diving in, I'm going deep. In over my head I want to be. Caught in the rush, lost in the flow. In over my head I want to go. The river's deep, the river's wide. The river's water is alive. Soul seek or swim, I'm diving in. I'm diving in. I think it's interesting in this passage that Jesus here's a sad realization. Most people won't go deep. Most people won't go deep. Many won't even get in the water. Most people won't go deep. And here's what Jesus, here's what the Lord taught me this morning. I think it was interesting that I found out that Jesus taught the multitude. Where did Jesus, he got in the boat and said, push out how far? A little ways. And he sat down and he taught the multitude. He taught the multitude from the shallow waters. But then he said, boys, you few, let's go deep. And when they got out to the deep, they got more than they could handle. They got blessed beyond measure. When he took those who were intimate with him, he took them into the deep and he taught them from the deep. Jesus is calling you. Come to the deep. There's something I want to show you. Something you won't get in the shallow waters. Something you won't get by splashing around. Something you won't get by following your regular routine and just doing it over and over and over again and over again and over again. You need to do something different. Step out of the box. Come with me to the deep water. Let me show you something beyond your wildest imagination. Will you accept the challenge to go deeper with Jesus? He's calling you into the water. You've got three choices, I think. You can either stay dry. You can sit on the shore and say, I ain't going in there. I'll get wet. That's what water does when you get in it. I'm not going in there. I don't like water. I can't really see the bottom. I'm not familiar with even the shallow water. I don't want to go in there. You can do that. You can get in the shallows. You can splash around. You can just kind of have a play day in the water. Or you can go deep. The choice is yours. What will you decide to do? Jesus wants to take you to the deep water. Jesus wants to take you and let you dive into the depths of what he has to offer you. But it's going to take you getting out of your routine. It's going to take you committing, being willing to do more than you've done before, be willing to go places you've never been before, be willing to do things that maybe you're not comfortable with. Are you willing to go deep? If you will go deep with Jesus, he will fill your boat. Whatever that is for you, I'm not sure. Whatever comes up in the nets free of your life, I'm not real sure. But I know. I know that I know that I know that if you will go deep with Jesus Christ, you won't be content with the shallow water ever again. Ever again. But you got to test it out. You've got to go. What will you decide? Are you on the beach? Are you in the shallow? Or are you wanting to go deep? I pray that you don't leave these doors today until you've made that decision. And it's sad to say, some of you may decide, no, I'm just not even going to get wet at all. I pray that you would test the waters. And you'll find that the waters are good. And the more you test it, the deeper you want to go. And I pray that if you've been splashing around the waters for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 50 years, it's never too late. Remember we started this service with little Gianna? You're never too old to go deeper. You're never too young to start. Wherever you are, if you want to go deeper, Jesus is there. Jesus is there, and that's where he's calling you to. It's your decision. What will you decide? We're going to stand. We're going to sing. I'll be in the front. The altar is always open. Rebecca will be here. This is your time. I pray that you don't leave until you've settled that question in your mind. What am I willing to do? What am I willing to do?